it feels good, you ain't doing it right.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can't use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Chartreuse! The only liquor so good they need the color after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
I guess so, huh?
Yeah. So,
it's my birthday!
And she can cry if she wants to.
That's
your party.
Yeah, it's my party. No, it's my birthday, so I told Steve we were going to either watch Bloody Birthday or Happy Birthday to me, and he picked Happy Birthday to me. The lesser of the two evils, right, Steve?
I guess. Yeah. So,
what were your thoughts?
I mean, it's a decent slasher. But, you know, beyond that, I don't really... The Blu-ray is surprisingly... looks good and stuff for a double feature and $5 or something, wasn't it? $5-$10?
Yeah, it didn't cost very much. And the other movie, which we're probably not going to watch tonight, is When a Stranger Calls, which is a creepy movie, in my opinion. If you haven't seen it, you missed it. But who all is this movie? Who all is on Happy Birthday to Me? We got
Wheels from Meatballs.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's Hardware. Steve, you're trying to.
I know. And you got Spaz from Meatballs.
And that's way too loud, Mill Creek Entertainment. And who else we got? We got Melissa Sue Anderson from Little House on the Prairie.
And Lisa Bergman.
Something like that, who played Lauren on Young and the Restless.
Happy birthday to me.
That Lenore Zahn, who's also on Visiting Hours. You know, the chick that...
Yeah. And Glenn Ford, which
well,
looks...
Well, Glenn Ford's on
way
it,
out too. Of place, but he was...
Yeah, it is wrong.
Way out of place in The Visitor, too.
Yeah, I forgot about that. He was in there, too.
So, but, it's... I think it was a really staple on pay TV back in the day.
It was on, I remember this being on satellite a lot, but the first time I saw it was, of course, a video store, and if anybody remembers Bueller's Bilo, Steve's going to give me
Bueller's Bilo?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that was everywhere. What the hell is
know.
Bueller? No, I never even heard of
okay,
Bueller's.
Okay, well, it was in Tail City, Indiana. Okay?
Bueller's Bilo. What the hell is Bilo?
Bilo, like
cheap.
Low prices.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Or just Bueller's.
Bueller.
Okay. Not Ferris Bueller. But anyway, this particular Bueller's Bilo used to have a video section in it where you could rent videos. This was in the heyday of renting videos when everybody was starting to get affordable VCRs and stuff. So I used to go there with my aunt and uncle and get...
Aunt Pam?
Not Aunt Pam. I told you Aunt Pam didn't watch those movies. She still doesn't watch those movies. I went with my Aunt Sandy and Uncle Scotty.
Aunt Sandy wished you a happy birthday.
I know. She did. She messaged me.
Okay. She messaged me, too.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I would go to this video section when I would go to Bueller's with them. They would get groceries there. But anyway... This is the first time I saw Happy Birthday to Me, and the cover art for this VHS was one that just said, Rent Me, because it had, it said six of the most bizarre murders you will ever see, which caught my eye, and it had the guy with the shish kebab in his coming out of his mouth. Steve, if you don't stop mouthing my words, I'm going to slap you.
Oh.
Steve has this very annoying habit of mouthing people's words.
You know Charles Durning? He fought in World War II and was on the beach in Normandy.
Really?
He was the only one that survived out of his group of people.
Wow.
And he actually, later on, he got stabbed in a fight with a German soldier, and he ended up killing the soldier with a rock. Ain't that crazy?
Where'd you hear all this story about Charles
Facebook, Durning? Baby. Because they're, you know, they're talking about, I guess, what was it, Memorial Day.
Oh, okay.
And it was, I guess it might be the anniversary of Normandy or something, D-Day.
It is. So, my birthday is the anniversary of D-Day.
So I think that's why they, but anyway, go ahead.
What was I talking, oh,
about Bueller's.
I was talking about the cover art for the VHS is what made me rent it. And although I wouldn't say it was six of the most bizarre murders you will ever see, it is a really good movie, a Canadian slasher, yet again.
Well, since you had this place called Bueller's, maybe we should watch Buford Beach Bunnies.
You just want to watch Buford's Beach Bunnies.
It stars Tom Hanks' brother, Jim Hanks.
Has it got naked ladies?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I like Tom Hanks a lot. I don't know much about his brother.
He kind of looks like him.
His son, Colin, looks like him.
Well.
Yes, he does.
But Jim Hanks, I think he does a lot of voice work and actually did some stuff with his brother, kind of, I don't even know, like a fat fit.
Yeah, but is he not movie star material? Like,
I mean, I don't think he's, like I think he does Tom. Stuff other than, but I mean, he's successful at whatever he does.
Tom Hanks is one person I would like to meet.
I want to meet Jim Hanks more than
You do not. Do you?
No.
You want to know what it was like to work in that movie?
I'm going to get my Buford Beach Bunnies VHS signed.
I wish one of these, convention promoters would get Tom Hanks. He was in a horror movie. He was. He was.
Yes, Dana. That's just like, hey, why don't we get Brad Pitt? Why don't we get George Clooney? None of those people are going to do a convention.
Tom Hanks might more so than George Clooney.
You know what a fucking madhouse that would be? And
and I'd be right in the middle of it because I'd make you take me.
And you get your Bosom Buddies DVD set signed.
No, I've got a He Knows You're Alone poster. I'd probably get him to sign that if it was at a horror convention.
All right. Well, that ain't happening. So,
not now.
Not ever. So, now we're going to, the question goes out again. The next movie is my choice, so we're going to watch either Demons 5.
We're going to watch Madhouse at some.
Well, it ain't happening this moment. Demons 5 or La Casa 5.
Neither one of them sound very good.
Fuck.
Is either one of them a slasher?
I don't know what La Casa 5 is. I think that's a haunting or ghost movie kind of thing. But it's Italian. Both of them are Italian.
What's the other one about?
Demons 5 is a loose remake of Black Sunday. Demons 5 is subtitled. La Casa 5 is dubbed.
Well, I don't really want to read subtitles, so I guess we'll have to watch the one that's dubbed.
La Casa 5, Beyond Darkness. Coming up here on
Two Against Whatever
.com.
Two Against .com. It's worse they didn't say Dead Pit or something, because he's been doing so many shows with Wesley.
Nah. But we'll be back after we watch this, and hopefully it's not too bad.
I hope not, or we're going to take it out and watch Madhouse.
It's a madhouse! Ice cream man.
It's Ice Cream Man. He's coming. And no, it's not Clint Howard.
So, what we watched La Casa 5, Beyond Darkness.
That was last night, right?
Yeah. And that was like some late 80s Italian movie made in Louisiana. Laura Gimser from Black Emmanuel was the costume designer or whatever in the movie. It starts with a priest going to visit this lady who had killed a bunch of kids, and she's getting ready to get executed, and basically...
She went all Mary Warnall.
Well, she was going to, told him basically they would haunt her, and she's going to take the kids' souls to hell, and all this, and then we got people moving in this house, and then the kid from Troll 2 is one of the kids.
The one that... pissed on the table.
Yeah, he pissed on hospitality.
Yeah.
And then the dad is actually a preacher, and we don't... And there's, like, people in black show...
Yeah, that's what I told Steve. I was like, there was too much of these people in these black robes.
And then the original priest at the beginning is, like, a drunk, and... I mean, it's all kinds of haunted house.
I guess he feels a lot of guilt because of those kids getting killed.
I think he was traumatized by that execution of the ugly woman, because she wasn't.
She looked like a strict school teacher.
She wasn't the way she looked at least in the role wasn't too hot, but I don't.
She wasn't supposed to be hot though.
And of course, I fell asleep. I think there was a fire, wasn't there?
There was, yeah, at the very end. But basically, what happened was that
don't spoil it.
Well,
there might be some person who actually wants to see this. How you would see it, I don't know, because we got it off the baby Jesus.
Well, it tried to be like a, it kind of went into Exorcist territory, and it kicked in, that's why I was telling Steve earlier, I said it kicked into high gear at the end, but it drugged so much in the middle that some people might not care by the time all the special effects bonanza starts at the end. But I won't give anything away, I just...
Well, I started watching, rewatching the Street Fighter trilogy last weekend. I watched the first one and then watched Return of the Street Fighter today.
I watched a lot of it with you today.
Yeah, it's pretty violent and it's got some really goofy stuff. Sonny Chiba kicking everybody's ass, making really weird noises.
Says that's the only thing he can't
say. It really, it's like he's getting ready to hawk up a loogie.
Yeah.
But the first one had like where he's hitting somebody's head and had like an X-ray vision where you could see the crushing, the bone crushing and all kinds of stuff. So.
I don't know what just happened to the DVD.
And we'll fix it.
Okay.
But yeah, it was. And then the second one, it's hard to tell you what the hell the second one was going on. They wanted him to kill a bunch of people, and he kills one guy and gets his Buddha back, and then they want him to kill this other guy, and he goes, no. And then the rest of the movie is them trying to kill him. And
oh, well, maybe that's the one I saw.
Yeah, you saw that one today.
Okay.
And then the last one is the Street Fighter's Last Revenge. So after these, I think I'm going to watch the sister Street Fighter movies.
Well, yeah, you might as well complete your...
Yeah, complete it.
Your marathon of those.
Yeah. And then today we watched one of the, a movie I found online. I've never heard of it. I watched it years ago, but I've never heard of it before seeing it online. It was called, it's Demons 5. And it's really...
it definitely has an Evil Dead influence.
Well, it's a remake, a loose remake of Black Sunday. And
which I can see that.
Roberto Bava made it. And the on-screen title says it's Mask of Satan, which was the original title of Black Sunday. And then it's about these skiers fall into this crevice, and then they find this frozen body with a mask on it. And they go
messing around with
it. Yeah, you take the mask off, and then all kinds of hell.
Literally.
They end up finding some kind of underground entrance to a church, and they find a blind priest, and then most of the skiers start becoming really weird and doing all kinds of chants and doing all kinds of weirdness and
abusing this priest that's
there. Yeah, and it goes from there, and then they have a flashback to like 100 years prior that where the witch was getting burned at the stake with the mask and
people that men especially that want to see a lot of boobies.
Yeah, there's some. There's not like a, I mean, there's like...
Well, there's not a ton, but...
There's two pair you see a lot, and one you see a lot. They were the bigger pair.
But then they turn into, like, demon creatures, and it's kind
of
nasty.
Yeah, we saw a pair of boobs deflate.
They pretty much did deflate like a balloon.
But this is a weird kind of movie as far as the structure and everything. It just seems kind of weird and... It does have a Cemetery Man kind of feel to it. Michelle Chavez in it, so.
But I thought that the main guy was like, I told Steve it was like an Italian young Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Because his shirt was half ripped off at the end, and like he was being abused by these demons and.
Not a demon, are ye? All right.
I will say I liked it better than the movie that we watched last
time. Yeah, La Casa 5.
Yeah, because this one had stuff going on pretty much the whole time. It was a little long. It was 2 hours, though, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. I mean, it's probably like an hour and a half or something, but still, it had a lot going on.
I thought you said it was 2 hours.
I was talking about something online.
Oh, okay.
Never mind.
I got confused on that. Okay.
So... We're going to watch a movie for a new commentary, and then
it'll be a surprise.
Yeah. And we'll be back after this.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. twists, solitary scenes, and things that go
in the night.
Little demons and witches creep through the streets. Jack-o'-lanterns, they flicker under the moon so bright. It's All Hallows' Eve, there's a feeling in the air, and you're in for a scare. But don't fall asleep tonight, the monsters are coming to catch you. Zombies, vampire bats, ghosts and ghouls, and evil black cats. The dead have risen from their tombs, and they're coming for you.
Recording our dog sleeping. That's how exciting we're having a crazy Saturday night here. A couple of movies I watched by myself. The new Tom Cruise movie, was it The Edge of Tomorrow or something like that?
Whatever, I can't remember.
Yeah. It was
The Edge of something.
Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow. It was decent. I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know how much rewatch ability, because he has like a groundhog type of day and keeps going
on. Well, I can watch Groundhog.
Well, that's that different. So
that's Bill Murray.
That's, you know, freaking check that out. Got done watching a movie called War, Women Against Rape, which is a small group of women. Of course, all of them have been raped at some point, either during this movie or beforehand.
A long time ago.
And then they try to get the police to do something about it, and they won't.
There's only one cop that'll do anything.
Frank Stallone is the one who says he ain't doing nothing, and at certain points in the movie, one of them kills the guy who tried to rape her.
It's really, really over the top, because it's excessive how many women in the movie get raped.
Plus, they at some point they start branding these guys who raped them, and they get a brand mostly on their ass, which I don't know why you would do it on their ass. I would do it on their
penis,
face,
oh,
or you know, chest or something. They brand them with a big thing that says rape.
It
should have said rapist.
Rapist.
Yeah, I don't know why you would put rape, but anyway.
This movie didn't make much
sense. Yeah, at the end of it comes up with this thing. It says, during the 90 minutes you've watched this, 130 women have been raped. You know, it's just like, come on.
I mean, rape is a very horrible thing, but when you do it to excess like that.
That was an exploitation movie, so they were trying to make it all.
It becomes a parody of itself.
Yeah, it was trying to, do something, but whatever.
I don't know what it's trying to do.
Didn't we watch a movie together? We watched Friday 2, Friday Part 13,
Friday
Part 2.
Yeah, in honor of Friday 13th yesterday. I watched the first one, which doesn't have Jason in it till the very end.
Oh.
It has Ari Lehman.
And I watched this documentary that I really liked. Jarofsky's Dune. It's from about the director of El Topo and the Holy Mountain in 1975 or so. He was basically, they wanted him to do Dune, and the movie is about his whole process. He got he was going to get David Carradine in it, and
didn't David Lynch end up doing it?
Yes, but I'll get to that in a second. But he got H.H. Giger to do some of the stuff, and then Mobius, the French artist, to do a bunch of stuff. I mean, he was training his son. His son was, you know, young, but he was actually making him work out 6 days a week, or, you know, maybe he was into it too, but he was working out 6 days a week to get in this warrior shape for the movie. and he was getting bands to do music, like he was getting Pink Floyd was going to do the music for one of the planets. Yeah, he went there and he was like, and they were eating and shit, and he got mad at them, and they stopped what they were doing and listened to him, and he was going to get this French band to do some. He was going to have a band for each one of the planets inside of.
Do you remember which planet Pink Floyd was on?
No. I think it was the main planet where that Paul Atreides, the Atreides, but I don't remember.
I've never seen Dune.
Well, it's a long one. It's, well, I'll tell you in a second what he thought of it. He got Orson Welles was going to play one of the big fat character floating with anti-gravity because he was too fat. I mean, all kinds of cool shit. And basically, nobody in Hollywood would want to. Didn't want to, you know, give him the money, which was like $15 million or something. Not very, I mean, today's standards, but still, that's still not a whole lot back in 75. But they wouldn't give it to him, and, you know, I think there was
basically
a...
Basically, to screw you, we're giving us today.
I think the main thing was that they didn't want to, he wanted like a super long movie. I don't know if it was over 3 hours or what, but they wanted him to cut it down to 90 minutes, and he said he couldn't do it. So, and then he got really kind of depressed about it a little bit, and his sons and other people said, you come to the movie because David Lynch made it. And he went in there and he was like, and he sat there and he said in the documentary, this movie sucks. And he was like, I feel okay now. So that was pretty funny. And
so
I really
thought David Lynch's version sucked.
Yes. Because I don't think he thought that David Lynch was able to do what he wanted. So, but I don't know. But I'm sure he doesn't have any.
David Lynch has a penchant for the bizarre, though. And I
this one is the most mainstream David Lynch movie.
Oh my gosh! Well, I didn't think David Lynch was capable.
It's got some weird shit in it, but it's not. It's not like The Brood or something. But it has some weird stuff, but not. It's just the weird because it's like a horror director. Making a sci-fi movie that doesn't have any killer monsters in it other than big giant worms, which they're not really. But
are they like sandworms, like in Beetlejuice?
These are giant sandworms. But also he was, another thing about the documentary, he went in, him and this guy went in there to see some big major special effects guy in Hollywood, and they just were very put off by him because he was so technical. And Jurovsky basically said that Sky didn't have the vision, or he wasn't like, he was so technical he didn't have any artistic, you know, to make it more artistic. And he basically took charge of the special effects and wouldn't let any input from the director or something like that. So him and this other guy went to see a movie and they saw John Carpenter's Dark Star.
Uh-oh.
And they said, I want, and they saw, and I want this guy, and it was, what was his name, Dan O'Banion. So Dan O'Banion got on board with him. He went and seen him, and he goes, this is my guy. I mean, it's just crazy. This movie, and they said, because what they did was they had storyboarded the movie, and he has like a giant book of the entire movie in storyboard. And basically, this movie... script or storyboard must have got around Hollywood because they showed so many examples of other movies using ideas from this movie. So one thing he did say, and I thought the same thing, was at the end of the movie, the documentary, he basically says this would make a great animated film. That way it wouldn't cost as much, and you could do, you know. So I really would wish that someone would do that, and you know, at the very least have him involved with it. But I think he's in his 80s now, and he's very, very quick. He's not slow at all. Mm-hmm. So that leads me to believe that, unfortunately, he's just going to have a heart attack or something and die quickly. He's not going to get decline. I hope not. He did make a new movie, but I don't know if it's a full movie or just a short story. But I'm going to try my best to watch El Topo this weekend, probably.
See,
tomorrow.
That's one I've heard of, but I don't really know what it's
a
about.
Very, what I've seen of it is very strange. It's a weird Western.
And he
plays the main character in it. So, And then Holy Mountain is way crazy looking.
So is he Spanish or what is he?
I don't know. No, I think he's Spanish. My favorite one of his is really the only one I saw complete was that Santa Sangre, and I think that is just a weird, crazy movie.
Steve loves that movie.
And the Mondo poster is rocking, and I'm lucky enough to get one of those stupid things. It's beautiful, but it's a great, and I think a Blu-ray came out from like Severin or somebody, so if you hadn't seen that, you might want to pick that up. It's got some other cool shit on it. So, I think me and Dana's finally going to watch the Blu-ray of Savage Streets that I got.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I completely forgot that Steve had it.
And one thing, we did do a documentary for Nail Gun Massacre. And
Commentary,
I'm sorry. A movie? Did I say movie?
Documentary.
Yeah.
I think you still had that.
Yeah, well, anyway, as far as the quality, I could not see any difference in the transfer. There is some new extras, which are kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're a big...
Because they talked with the director, who's no longer...
Yeah, and they showed that the screen at the Draft House, the Ritz, where me and Dana went a couple years ago. But, I mean, it's a... So far, it's been kind of a hit or miss with the Blu-rays from Code Red. I mean, Neon Maniacs, the movie that I didn't even order and got, looks really good. And I have heard that the transfer for Savage Streets is pretty good. So,
well, like I said, I was glad to get Redeemer on them.
Well, Redeemer's a hit as a miss for me.
Well, when you're watching a movie and there's a green digital blob on somebody's face.
That's ridiculous. That's totally ridiculous.
That's unprofessional.
That is. And so was some of the other stuff. But that's just totally ridiculous. To have, and when your DVD doesn't have a glitch like that, but your Blu-ray does, that is just totally amateur hour.
But you know what the guy would say.
Oh, he would fucking go off.
I got a shitty...
Well, your damn DVD transfer looks fine. So, whatever.
Which, like I said, Steve got that for me, and I'm glad to have it on Blu-ray, but I wish they had taken better care and presented it.
I mean, honestly, there's some movies that don't lend themselves to the format, because they're not going to look that good. The Redeemer DVD is perfectly fine with me. Unless you can clean up the image
technically,
to a
Steve,
good degree.
I think Steve got me both, because I think I used... Christmas money that he gave me one year to get the Redeemer DVD.
Coming soon to eBay is Dana's Redeemer on DVD
for
sale.
No, I may keep my DVD. Well, I'll keep both of them because...
Alright, well, I don't blame you on that. So, other news, we got a Fire TV from Amazon, but...
I did,
but I did not get it from Amazon. I bought it through eBay. And it's pretty cool. It's this thing I found called XBMC. And basically that's an Xbox Media Center from back in the original Xbox days when they modded them. And now it's just like, I didn't hear about it for years. And then that has been embraced by the kind of free movie, free TV kind of stuff community. And they have really changed that into something wild. The Fire TV... streams, like, you can get live stations, some cable networks streamed, and on a bunch of movies. So, I mean, I'm very impressed with how it looks and everything like that. So, I'm going to be playing around with that for quite a while. But I think the next thing we will hear is a Savage Streets music package. Yes?
What now?
Nah. We're going to watch Savage Streets. We'll be back.
Bye.
Bye. Don't rape anybody.
A minor offense.
What do you think about rape?
I don't think about it at all.
But you must have an opinion.
Well, in my opinion, it's just a big joke.
Thank you, miss. What do you think about rape?
I've never been raped. In any case, I'm against it.
Thank you. Would you mind telling us what you think about rape?
Oh, it's horrible.
And why?
It's a crime, mister.
Excuse me, sir. What do you think about rape?
Rape? Oh,
yeah?
I'm not farting anytime, no, sir.
What do you think about rape, sir?
What?
What's your opinion?
Oh, well,
excuse me. What do you think about rape, sir?
For comment.
The house by the lake, miles from anywhere or anyone. Harry took Diane there for a weekend of pleasure and ended up having the time of his life. Last time, winner of the International Terror Film Festival starring Greta Picaro. Come to the house by the lake, but don't come alone. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
So we're watching the credits of Savage Streets, Dana, on Blu-ray disc.
Which looked very good.
Yes. Cut to the chase, right, Dana? Yeah, there were some grainy spots, but overall, it's definitely an improvement over DVD. I would say that the disc is pretty much bare bones and has no extras. Has a couple different audios. I don't think it has commentary on it. But it has a 5.1 mix and a audio or a soundtrack only track, so you can listen to the music and stuff, but definitely worth an upgrade if you're into this movie like me and Dana are, so I'd get it before.
But I think if you want the extras for those of you that have that double disc set, you should hang on to that too.
Either that or the, I think Scorpion, I had the Scorpion release too, which is a slight improvement over the BCI, but either one of those is, I think the Scorpion actually has more interviews and stuff, so. And I think that may be more easy to find. But
yeah, the two discs said I got lucky and got off Half.com for like, I think $20 or $25.
Yeah, the BCI was going for about $100, $80, $60. So, one of the, yeah, I would definitely say check it out. And, wow, we only talked like a minute and a half.
Well, people have talked about this movie.
Yeah,
before.
I mean,
they pretty much talked it to death. So.
Yeah. There's a lot more in this movie, at least as far as the high def we were seeing. I was telling Dana I was seeing a lot of pink lights in the background.
It was in the
80s. Yeah, it was kind of cool. Yeah. So there is no commentary. We're back on the menu, so we just have a trailer and.
And the 5.1 mix and the isolated music track.
And you get a trailer with it, Dana.
Yeah.
And this looks like a little bit of my poster art.
Mm-hmm.
This is cool.
And everybody that's watched this movie loves this soundtrack.
It is a great soundtrack. And I was telling Dana, one song ends up on the animated Transformers the movie a couple years after this.
I'm going to have to ask my brother if he remembers that because he watched that.
Well, I got the soundtrack for it. It's basically the same song, but a little, you know, maybe slightly different, but it's a cool soundtrack.
And I told Steve this was probably Linnea Quigley's most innocent role.
Yeah. I mean, some other movies she plays, like, I think I liked her in Sorority Babes and the Slime Bowl of Rama because she played a badass.
Yeah.
And of course, like in Nightmare Sister, she's just like one of the girls.
And what about Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers?
I mean, she's got a chainsaw, and she's kind of, she's more of an innocent chick, but not as much as she is in this film.
Well, she's basically a deaf girl. And
yeah.
She's just really naive, and these guys pretty much violate her in every way, so pretty horrific.
Especially with the previous DVD releases, you get the Danny Steinman Felcher commentary, which is pretty damn good, so you really can't, if you just love the movie, then this is okay, but if you're a big fan of the movie, then you got to have one of the,
one of the inside,
you want one of the DVD releases, so. Yeah, we're going to rock out to this song for another 20 minutes.
For another 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're just going to listen to it.
And make everybody that listens to our show listen to it.
No, Ma!
Linnea likes the song, too.
Our doggy.
Yeah.
It puts her to sleep. She's asleep on my lap.
I told her her namesake was in this movie.
And she actually moved one of her eyes.
Yeah.
Briefly. And then she closed it.
That's a big deal for
her. Yeah. So we'll be back after we pick something else to watch.
Right.
Today, in a beautiful gesture made by beautiful people, beautiful downtown Goldfield, this radio station was named Kowalski, in honor of the last American hero to whom speed means freedom of the soul. The question is not when he's going to stop, but who is going to stop him. Yeah, with Rudy Raymond.
With the PCP?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew it was... I thought it was the Black Godfather.
No, it's disco.
All right, whatever you say. I have to ask my cousin Jed.
You ain't got to ask nobody nothing. But we watched the A Million Ways to Die in the West. At least I watched it. I don't know if Dana watched all of it.
I watched part of it.
It was okay. It wasn't. I don't think it was laugh out loud funny or anything. Did you?
No, but it was amusing.
Yeah, I guess so. So
worth a watch, I guess.
Yeah, and I watched a new Asian movie called Once Upon a Time in Shanghai, and it was it came out last year, but I guess I'm not up on all that. But it was decent enough. Not, it wouldn't. You know, nothing groundbreaking if you're into, you know, martial arts movies. So
Steve is.
Yeah, we got Chinese, and that really was good.
I got Steve Chinese for Father's Day.
Yeah, so. One thing we did finish up watching was the TV show Fargo, which we both really liked.
Yeah, and Steve had to break it to me that they're probably not going to be anymore.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that story's done, so I don't know. But they said series finale, and I mean, I think it was just planned as a 10-part thing, so who knows.
Yeah, but I thought, well, if a lot of people like it, if it gets good ratings or something like that, they might continue.
I don't know, but we'll see. But, yeah, I liked it, and I liked that, you know, it's very unpredictable from the beginning to the end, really. And I'd be surprised if Billy Bob Thornton doesn't get some kind of Emmy nomination or something out of that.
Oh, he did a really good job.
And so did the Lester guy, Lester Nygaard.
Yeah, who plays him?
Shit, I don't know. He was in...
Tom Hanks' son's in this.
He was... he's in... he's the Hobbit in the Hobbit movies, and he's also in BBC's Sherlock, so he's getting...
The guy that played Lester?
Yeah, he's British. So
he was dressed like... I thought he was dressed like Norman Bates, so that's not giving anything away. That's just...
Yeah. But we thought for the last segment of the show, we'll probably watch... is it Sorority or Slumber?
Slumber Party Massacre, because I just got that on Blu-ray as part of my birthday.
So we'll dive into that and let you know how everything's good.
I will tell you that I have seen the interview with Ryan Kennedy, or Rig Kennedy, I think is his real name, and that's hilarious. Just, you have to watch it. I'm not going to give any details about it, but if you get the Blu-ray, you need to definitely watch that.
Definitely.
I'm going to make Steve watch it.
Totally.
Okay, PJ, so.
Totally. So, we'll watch that, and we'll probably just, like, since that's a trilogy, maybe we'll talk about the other movies.
Or maybe we'll watch them.
No, we'll talk.
Why?
I don't want to watch them.
Steve, you're not fun. If you go and watch the first one, you might as well watch the others.
Nah.
Especially the second one with Crystal Bernard.
We'll see. We'll talk.
All right.
We'll be back after this.
At last, it has arrived. The return of the great thriller. The winner of the Fanta Festival Special Award, Lucio Fulci. Which dark mystery is hidden behind the monuments of the Eternal City? Who's killing those innocent girls? Why are their dead bodies filmed? And why can't the police find any evidence apart from those grim videotapes? Which is the link with the serial killer that scattered death in America and that the FBI calls the video killer? Which bloodline ties the strange figures of an esoteric Rome to the filming of a video clip? Who really is the mysterious and fascinating Stefania Stella? And which is the terrible secret rising from Alex Ritt's past? The new revelation, Stefania Stella. Rick Genasi, Ugo Pagliai, David Warbeck, Alida Valli, Leo Daniel, Giorgio Albertazzi, Ciccio Ingrassia, Linnea Quigley, Angus Scrimm, and in their last great appearance, Rossano Brazzi and Donald Pleasance as Professor Robinson, with special effects by the Academy Award winner Steve Johnson in a never-ending thriller. Stefania Di Giandomenico presents Fatal Frames, directed in music by Al Festa. The extreme limit of fear.
We just finished, is this Scream Factory, right?
Yeah.
Released the Slumber Party Massacre. First
and
off.
And I got free coasters with it.
Oh, that's.
It's part of their Summer of Fear thing.
I thought you had this way before then, no?
Nope.
So, yeah, you get coasters.
But the thing is, you gotta order one of them that they've got on their.
Yeah, they change every week, so you better look on.
I think it's just for the month of June, though, isn't it?
Yeah, so you're pretty much. Next week's it. So, by the time they get to hear this, it'll be over with, so.
Yeah.
So, first of all, the transfer is really, really good. I don't think I saw hardly any grain, if any.
Or, like, artifacts or.
Yeah, anything negative about the transfer.
And the close-ups on their face, there was a lot of detail and stuff like that.
Right, so, I mean, this is pretty impressive. Even, we're watching the menu right now. And they're showing scenes from the movies, and you know, you can just definitely tell the detail and everything. And this movie is kind of a weird movie because of the. It spawned two other. It spawned four sequels. It spawned Slumber Party Massacre 2 and 3, and then the Sorority Massacre 2, and then Hard to Die. Which they took they made their own story up with the footage.
But that's Roger Corman. That's what he likes.
And
to
do. You know, it's been a while, but actually, we went to Wasteland and they had a reunion for this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Dana met the guy who played the killer, and
Michael Vallela.
Yeah, we're looking for the picture because he brung a drill bit or something.
He claims I've had a picture with him, but. I really don't recall.
I think she did, but yeah. I don't know.
But if Steve ever finds it, we'll put it up on Facebook.
Now, you look at your other movies, you didn't get anything signed? No?
I think I just talked to him.
Oh, okay.
He was really interesting to talk to. He had adopted a child, and he was telling me all about that. Really super nice guy and very intelligent.
Yeah, you definitely wouldn't. I mean, he's a real slime ball in this movie, but he was like, you know, I can't remember everything, but he definitely was. I think he was really an actor for a while. I mean, mm-hmm. doing plays and all that stuff, and then he started being a father for this kid or something.
Yeah, and he talked like that was his greatest achievement over anything that he's done in his life.
Because you see these movies. I think I said this before, but you see these movies and you wonder whatever happened to these people and, you know, how they got into them. And then you see these people at some convention or you read about them and they're like they've done plays and they're like mm-hmm. really actors. But in here you watch it and you just think they just got them off the side of the street.
Well, like Carol Locatel that was on Friday 13th.
Oh, yeah.
She had done a bunch of plays and things too.
So it's... You know,
they're very cultured people, but...
Yeah, but they play these characters that you wouldn't believe.
Off-the-wall characters.
So, but yeah, I mean, the sequels, Dana likes this number two. I think it's kind of that's a strange one because it's got, like, the rock and roll killer guy and...
Yeah, but he's still got a drill, so it kind of fit... It's not the... It's supposed to be... I think it's supposed to be the embodiment of this guy on the first one, only he takes over a rock singer's body that had recently died. I think that was the thing.
Now, how many years was that after this? It was like maybe
years? The Courtney character was in, not the same girl, because Crystal Bernard plays Courtney this time around. And... I'm not sure how many years later they say, but Trish has moved out of the neighborhood. They just couldn't cope with that stuff. And Courtney's sister, Valerie's in the mental hospital. And, of course, if you watch the whole movie, by the end of it, you're not sure exactly what has went on.
Yeah, that's one thing that was weird. And the third one I've seen.
The third one is my least favorite of the Slumber Party Massacres.
Well, they all...
Do you know who the crazy guy is on that?
Not right offhand. I mean, I kind of do.
It's that Britton Fry that was on the Hide and Go Shriek movie. Hmm. You know, the one that had the blonde girlfriend with the short shorts?
No, I don't remember that movie too much.
The one that got... The girl that got killed in the elevator and her head... She got decapitated by the elevator?
Kinda. I don't remember
okay,
that.
Okay, well, it was her... Her boyfriend was Britton Fry, but anyway. Steve doesn't like that movie very well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
He doesn't want to remember it.
It's just, I don't think there's really a good copy out there to watch, and then it is a kind of a strange movie.
I always liked it, though. That was during my video store days when I discovered it, I think.
Yeah, that's not a movie that you would... drop in your lap. It's just like...
Well, it was one of those that I saw the box, and the box looked cool, and I was like, I'm going to watch that. You know?
Yeah.
It was either that or Dad brought it home. Dad used to bring stacks of videos
now,
home.
For me, I saw Slumber Party, or no, Sorority House Massacre 2 on Joe Bob's Drive-In, and that movie, it's just a wacky, those movies around that time were just like really wacky, and of course, boobs and stuff.
Those, I can see where Slumber Party Massacre, the first one would, and even the second one even would be for guys, but I think purely Sorority House Massacre 2 and then Hard to Die were strictly for guys, because I mean, I'm not saying I don't get any enjoyment out of it, but I really don't want to see girls running around in negligees
take showers.
They did that on Slumber Party Massacre 3.
But
also,
there's just those movies, that and Hard to Die, are just like
it was pretty much the same story, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they... I think it was between Roger Corman and his wife was basically, like... I don't know, there's some kind of thing where they were like, remake this movie. So they remade the whole, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same movie, but in a different location.
But I didn't realize that the first time I watched them, and I was like, what the heck?
Yeah. But, I mean, those movies are, if you take them, I mean, they're not, they're horror movies, but they're so, like, a parody of horror movies, mm-hmm. in a way.
Prior to Scream.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're, I mean, it's just like, they scrub their boobs. It sounds like somebody scrubbing a balloon. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a real wacky.
And it's shots over and over of them washing their boobs, washing their ass. And, you know, how many showers did they take between the two films?
Well, there was a big, I mean, that's basically every girl takes a shower. And then I'm following the one girl, her name was Gail Harris, but her last name's changed. She's like a psychic.
She's a dark-headed one.
Yeah, with the big boobs with the British accent.
And the one that says, you really hurt me.
Yes.
I do remember that.
And I thought she is gorgeous, and she's still very attractive.
She's attractive.
But now she's like a psychic and all this new age shit, going to different countries and stuff. So I guess she's either got money or she hooked up with a rich dude. But
and who was the chick that was on... Slumber Party Massacre 3 that you used to be...
Heather Hope Marie Carlton?
Yeah. Wasn't you crazy over her?
Oh, fuck yeah. She was
in her
gorgeous
Playboy days?
Yes. She was beautiful.
I don't know. I wasn't that, you know, but...
And then,
I'm not into women, so...
And then Sorority House Massacre 2 had a chick from Lexington, Kentucky, Melissa Moore... Who was in a bunch of these movies.
The tall,
yeah, she's fucking
blonde.
Super big blonde. And she raced horses and stuff. She was on Joe Bob's Drive-In, which is... I still have tapes of that, and that was cool. She did other movies, but she... I don't know whatever happened to her, but...
you don't hear anything from
a
lot of these people.
Yeah, they kind of...
Well, just like...
They settled down and got real jobs, probably.
Michelle Michaels that plays Trish on this one... I don't think anybody knows where she's at. They don't know where the girl that played Courtney is at. So
I'm sure that they either they're not alive or they just settled down and moved on and names changed. And
most of the rest of that Andre or however you pronounce her name, the black chick.
Yeah.
I don't think she showed up at anything, but most of the rest of
I think that was. People saying it was weird because they had a Slumber Party Massacre reunion at Graceland.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I think that was that the last one we went to?
Yeah, the same one that Frank Henenlotter was at, and they had all the basket case.
I remember, but I think it was either that one or the one before. But I mean, we haven't been since, and it's been over a year.
Steve really wants to go back.
If I somehow could not have to drive 5 hours and 5.5 hours, I would do it. But right now, I'm not into that.
Actually, Wasteland was the first convention I ever went to.
Right, so we're looking forward to another convention, Days of the Dead, coming up at end of June, which this probably will come out at that point, which I'll see about getting out. But Argento hopefully will be there. Kevin Tinney, Lene Quigley,
Nancy Allen's
the one you want to meet.
I want to meet Linnea Quigley, too, because I've never got to meet her before.
So there's...
Now, Amelia Kincaid I've met, and she's supposed to be there, too?
Yeah, there's pretty much the whole cast.
Or Mimi Kincaid, or whatever they call her now.
Cast of Night of Demons and Nightbreed.
Is Hal Havens going to be there?
Who's Hal Havens?
The guy that says eat a bowl of fuck.
Yes.
Okay.
Supposedly, I think he is.
And that black guy.
I don't know about the black guy.
And the chick that was with Hal Havens and the black guy.
The Asian chick?
No.
Oh, the other chick?
Oh, you're talking about Jill Tarashita.
Yeah, she's there. I don't know. I don't remember.
I like Jill Tarashita.
I think when they're like a young, innocent-looking girl besides... Kathy.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
I think she's supposed to be there.
Oh, Kathy Podwell's supposed to be there.
She is?
I thought she was. Maybe not.
I don't know.
I'm just,
I guess we should have looked.
I'm going crazy now. Everybody's going to be there.
So,
but Jill Terracita I like because she was in Sleepaway Camp 3.
So we're going to do, you know, definitely talk about our experiences there. So
Steve will be gushing all over himself.
I very, very hopefully get to meet Argento. And
if we don't, we're going to cry.
I mean, this is like the closest I've come to him. So it's going to be, I think it's my only opportunity at this point. So,
well, I'm really not expecting him to cancel. I don't want to jinx us, but he asked to be put on the bill for this one.
Right, so, and I read something about him starting a new movie, so I'm wondering if this is like a little bit of extra financing, or if he just wants
It's promotional.
Or he just wants to come back to America. I don't know how often he comes. So, we're looking forward to meeting him, and I mean,
I hope he understands us.
I mean, I've seen him speak English, but, you know, if he don't do it a lot, he may not. But I hope I don't get too flustered, because that's like a big one for me.
You know, I always thought that I would get flustered, but so far, not even with Bruce Campbell did I get flustered.
He was the first real big guy I ever met, was Bruce Campbell.
Really?
Yeah. So it was kind of surreal.
I mean, it was like afterwards I was like, I met Bruce Campbell. And it was that way with John Carpenter, too. It was like after I met him, yeah. I was like, I met John Carpenter.
Especially when John Carpenter talks and then Bruce Campbell talks, they get those voices and it's like, I remember that.
Actually,
I remember those on TV.
They actually both talk to me.
Well, you got your accent and you're a lady, so they kind of... You charm them.
Candace was going on and on about how Bruce Campbell talked to me quite a while.
Yeah, you charm them, Dana.
They always want to know where I'm from. Even Tom Atkins asked me that when I talked to him. But
so next time you'll hear us, we'll probably be after the Days of the Dead, and we'll
Steve
give you.
Steve may record some stuff.
Yeah, we'll give you the lowdown because. We want to, I mean, I'm not saying Days of the Dead is the greatest convention, but it might be the best one we go to this year.
It's one of the better ones in recent years.
Yeah.
Oh, and our buddy, I heard that our buddy Aaron Fry was going to be there.
Mm.
Uncle Bill.
I have something to say, but I can't say it.
What? You can't say it? You're not allowed to say it?
No, I should say it, but I'm not going to.
You're
going to
be nice and not say it? Okay.
But anyway, we'll be back with that and much, much more of our movie watching.
Yeah, Steve will be out of it here in the next hour.
Well, I'm ending the show now, Dana.
I know that, but you're acting like you're going to be watching more movies, and I don't see it happening.
Alrighty. I'm going to go to bed. Bye.
Bye.
Put on your best dress, darling. Can't you see the time is right? There will never be another tonight. Yay! Come on! You got your motor running, and I got my engines on. Say the word and darling, we'll be gone. The world is waiting.
with you.